This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon, it's Thursday, February 6th, and this Waitangi Day, you're listening to the RCR Daily Brief, your roundup of the day's biggest news. I'm Megan McNamara, and first up, it's Paul Brennan with the news, followed by some reflections from RCR political analyst William McGimpsey on the wider debate about race relations in New Zealand. Then Natalie Cutler-Welsh is here for RCR Signpost, sharing our newest interviews, key campaigns, and how you can take action. Let's get started.
Good afternoon. 50,000 people were expected at the Waitangi grounds in Northland today, beginning with a dawn service at 5 a.m. and a flag-raising ceremony. With the notable exception of Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, politicians from all major parties spoke at the grounds yesterday. New Zealand First's Shane Jones described the porphyry welcoming the politicians as a circus and later suggested that government funding for the Waitangi National Trust should be reviewed. However, many Māori in attendance turned their backs on ACT leader David Seymour while he was speaking and his microphone was twice snatched away by the crowd. Seymour responded, saying, "You can take away the microphone, but you can't take away the idea." In other New Zealand news, Labour has firmly rejected the Māori Party's call for a separate commissioner to sit above Parliament. Leader Chris Hipkins dismissed the idea of Te Tiriti Commissioner, saying such a body, with strong veto powers over parliamentary decisions, should not be created. The government will consider extending resource consents for vegetable growers and orchardists following a precedent set by marine farmers in 2024. Regional Development Minister Shane Jones said he would explore ways to extend these consents to reduce regulatory burdens in a struggling economy. Stats NZ figures show that the country's unemployment rate has climbed to 5.1%, the highest since September 2020, and surpassing expectations. Labour market spokesperson Deb Brunning said unemployment had been rising since late 2022. An estimated 30,000 jobs were lost over the past year, and there was a 20% drop in job advertisements. Turning to international news, US President Donald Trump has proposed that the US take over the Gaza Strip and redevelop it into what he called the Riviera of the Middle East. He suggested that the 2 million Palestinians currently in Gaza should leave for Jordan or Egypt. However, the plan would likely make the US complicit in what critics have called an ethnic cleansing operation. In Sweden, a mass shooting at an adult education centre in the town of Örebro has left up to 15 people injured and 11 dead. The shooter, Rickard Andersson, was among those killed, but police said his motive remains unclear. The attack was the deadliest shooting in Sweden's history and occurred amid a rise in gang-related violence across the country. Australia will now only provide foreign aid to countries or organisations that prioritise gender equality, according to the government's updated international strategy. Foreign Minister Penny Wong said gender equality was not a special interest, but a national interest, arguing it was a stronger predictor of peace than a nation's wealth or political system. Now for RCR Quick Bites. ACC and industry group Safer Farms have announced a new partnership in an effort to reduce harm, injuries and fatalities in agriculture. The government has begun its overhaul of the Public Works Act by first addressing alleged inequities faced by Māori landowners. The government said it will prioritise upgrades to Christchurch's State Highway 76 as part of the Roads of Regional Significance program. Australians have praised football legend Sam Newman for defying the woke mob by interviewing two of the country's most controversial nationalists on his podcast. Australia said it has banned Chinese AI chatbot tool DeepSeek from all government devices and agencies. And El Salvador's president Nayib Bukele has offered to house dangerous criminal migrants from any country in its mega prison system.
Politicians and New Zealanders of all stripes have gathered at Waitangi for the annual hui to mark the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi. Always eventful and sometimes controversial, it's certainly a day that means different things to different people. Incidentally, it's also the third anniversary of the 2022 convoy to Wellington that sparked the three-week-long Parliament protest focused on ending the mandates. You can hear Alistair Harding reflect on that this evening at 8pm in the premiere of RCR's newest show, RCR 360. I know where I'll be tonight at 8pm. This is a show not to be missed. In the meantime, William is here to give us some of his own thoughts on Waitangi Day and democracy.
Thanks, Megan. Waitangi Day is upon us. But just before I get to that, what an extraordinary announcement from Donald Trump yesterday in his press conference with Benjamin Netanyahu. The man just announced that the US will take over Gaza and rebuild it, essentially ethnically cleansing the Palestinians on Israel's behalf. If he were to follow through and actually do that, it would shred international law and leave any hope of a two-state solution lying dead in the gutter. On the other hand, this could all be part of a negotiating strategy, and he doesn't really plan to follow through on it. It's clear that the status quo isn't working, and while not all change is necessarily good, by flipping over the chessboard, Trump just might open up new possibilities for a long-term solution to this intractable conflict. Diwa and I will discuss Trump's comments at length on the next weekly roundup, which drops on Friday. Check it out on the RCR website or app. But back to Waitangi Day. What on paper is our national day has in recent times become a day of division, where most Kiwis check out. I think most New Zealanders want to do right by Māori and put right historical wrongs, but they want the process to eventually come to an end so that we can move on together as a country. At this point, people are feeling the treaty has just turned into a gravy train that is being used to extract a seemingly never-ending stream of rents from the taxpayer. They're sick of it. This year, the backdrop to Waitangi is David Seymour's Treaty Principles Bill. The debate around the Treaty Principles Bill boils down to a debate about what liberal democracy means. Should we all just be treated as individuals with the same rights? Or does that result in a quote-unquote tyranny of the majority that runs roughshod over the rights and interests of minority groups like Māori? Let's listen to two different perspectives. First, we hear from Don Brash of Hobson's Pledge, an organisation that advocates for all New Zealanders to be treated as one people under the law. He spoke to RCR's Rodney Hyde yesterday. They started off by talking about equality.
People interpret it in different ways. They interpret it to mean equity, which is a value judgment of what is fair, whereas equality, in my view, is about political equality. Are we giving each adult person the same political rights as each other adult person? And I think that's the fundamental principle of any democracy.
And of course, here in New Zealand, we are not.
No, we're not. One major and obvious exception, of course, is that we have different electorates for people who opt onto the Māori roll. Now, it's democratic in the sense that people can opt either onto the Māori roll or off the Māori roll if they have a Māori ancestor, and roughly half the people who categorise themselves as Māori are on the Māori roll, roughly half are on the general roll, and the free to move one to the other. The size of those electorates in terms of number of voters is broadly similar. So we're a reasonably democratic society in that sense, but with that important exception.
Now, let's listen to another perspective from academic and political science, Dr. Areti Metuamate. This is an excerpt from his oral submission to the Treaty Principles Bill.
There's two things I really want to touch on. The first is about this misconception about democracy purely being about rule by the majority. It's democracy is about rule of the people for the people, yeah? So where we've got people constantly talking about, well, there should be a referendum so that the majority of New Zealanders can speak to this issue, it's just completely not understanding the principles of democracy that speak about protecting and recognising the interests of minority people, and in this case, obviously, Māori. I'm actually friends with Don Brash, which my whānau think is funny, but Don Brash used to talk about he iwi tahi tātou, yeah? And the Hobson's Pledge, they had that quote at the start of their submission. There's two things that I want to say about the use of that quote in this context. First, it's ironic that a Pākehā-led organisation like the Hobson's Pledge is using a Māori word, a Māori phrase, that a Pākehā person spoke to Māori. It's like, how ironic that Pākehās are telling us what he iwi tahi tātou means in our own language. He iwi tahi tātou doesn't mean everyone is one and we are all exactly the same. It just fundamentally doesn't understand. You can bring people together and have a partnership and a connection, and we can become one for that particular purpose, but that doesn't mean we're all exactly the same everything we do is the same. We all should be treated exactly the same. He iwi tahi tātou has been misused and abused, not necessarily deliberately by people like Hobson's Pledge, but probably because they just don't understand. Having people who are not fluent in our language telling us what Governor Hobson meant when he said he iwi tahi tātou is just ridiculous.
I think there is some truth in each of these perspectives and that it should be possible to find a compromise. But in order to do so, maybe New Zealand needs its own version of Trump, someone willing to flip over the chessboard and make new ways of thinking possible. Now let's turn to a related but different story that also involves Hobson's Pledge. Earlier this week, real estate agent Janet Dixon lost a court case fighting the requirement to undergo training in Māori tikanga under threat of losing her licence. The case was backed by Hobson's Pledge, and next steps are now being decided. Here is what Don Brash said about it.
Hobson's Pledge took her case to the court, backed the case anyway. We funded the case. And just yesterday, in fact, the court decided that no, she had to do the course, and the real estate authority was absolutely within its rights to deprive her of her license for 5 years because she didn't do it. Now, we've got to decide in the next few days what we do about that. Do we appeal to the court, and the court judgment was not helpful at all, or do we try to find some point where the government will intervene and change the law, because it's clearly absurd?
RCR's Paul Brennan spoke to Janet Dixon yesterday. Here they discuss the broader implications and what should happen next.
It's not just real estate. If we get into this way of thinking, people's freedom in their jobs and their career choices are going to be dictated to. And that's correct. Never happened before, beyond the obvious health and safety and being a law-abiding citizen in the workplace.
Yep. So the plan is we will need to change the law as far as real estate is concerned, and then that becomes the precedent for all the doctors, nurses, you know, whatever, every single apprentice, you name it, across the board. That is the precedent, and then we do the rest.
Catch both the full interviews on RCR's brand new app or website.
Thanks, William. Now let's hear from Natalie with the lowdown on all things RCR.
Thanks, Megan. Hey there, everybody. Happy Waitangi Day. Today on The Signpost, we are serving up the freshest RCR news, views, interviews, and upcoming guests, plus all the ways you can join in the fun. First up, we're super excited to unveil our brand new segment, which is called RCR 360. This is a thought-provoking dive into the issues that truly matter. In this inaugural episode, Alistair Harding takes on the topic of democracy. Don't miss the stunning trailer. You can watch it on the fancy new RCR website. Find that at rcr.media. More on that soon. Since it's Waitangi Day, you'll definitely want to catch Simon O'Connor's interview with Professor Paul Moon, who spills some fascinating secrets about Waitangi Day history. And recently landed on the app is Paul Brennan's interview with Jonathan Ayling. He is CEO of Free Speech Union, ringing the alarm on proposed hate crime laws, warning that vague definitions of hate could lead to crackdowns on free speech. Don't miss RCR's Katie Ashby-Coppins on Legal Hub, revealing her sensational citizen petition submitted to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, spotlighting alarming levels of DNA contamination found in Pfizer biotech and Moderna jabs. If you like a good tale and you're keeping up with Oinky Lux, Kiwi Farm is back. Episode 64 is an absolute fiasco. Speaking of Marie Buskey, her interview with Aaron Friday, a mother who rescued her child from transgenderism, and Jaspreet and Dawn talked to Margaret Byfield, who fought a landmark case against the U.S. federal government for 27 years. That is perseverance. The RCR 2.0 launch has landed. Foundation Club members were the first to hear the news this morning, and now it's everyone's turn. The brand new RCR Plus site is live, and it is awesome. Make sure you're on the mailing list so you never miss an update, and head over to rcr.media/plus and sign up today. That's P-L-U-S, where you can sign up. Jump over and check it out now. And that's it from me. Enjoy your day off. Have an incredible time. Maybe spend some time with family. And I'll catch you tomorrow. Megan, back to you.
Thanks, Natalie. Well, that's all from us here at RCR on this Waitangi Day. Hopefully you're enjoying a day off and a little bit of sunshine. Maybe you'll even find time to listen to some of the RCR Talk interviews featured in today's episode. And of course, you can find all the links for those at the bottom of the episode. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you tomorrow with another edition of the show. Until then, see ya!